Revelation chapter 2. Okay. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath a sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. I would like the meeting to be over about 4, at the latest 4:05, in view of the next meeting.
Now, in the pursuance of this history, we ought to have mentioned perhaps yesterday, these things come up as we keep coming down, that it does not only say in the voice of the Spirit, as we might have thought yesterday, hear what the Spirit said to the church, Ephesus, but in each one what the Spirit said to the churches. So obviously there is a link, while each separate church, I suppose, is used here to describe a state that came about publicly in the old public church in Christendom. Nevertheless, there is that in every one of these epistles that we all need to take heed to. And so in the pursuance of that, and coming on now to Smyrna, the word I think we know means myrrh, the ingredient you remember in the incense which speaks of suffering, it seems as though as a result of the difficulties that already had invaded the assembly at Ephesus, the Lord submitted the saints of God to persecution from this world in order that they might be purged from it. Whatever success we might see as we go down, but it does seem as though the church now is in tribulation, and probably because of their tendency toward the world. Some may say, well, there's not much said in Ephesus about the assembly moving toward the world. The point was the assembly was moving away from Christ, and they were bound to move into the world. I would like that to be pressed, brother, and done me good.
Does this condition answer to part of the words that Paul spoke to the elders of Ephesus gathered at Miletus when he said, after my departure, grievous wolves shall enter in, not sparing the flock.
Oh, yes. I do not doubt it's the beginning, as we said, of the lamb being removed. But he presents himself to them at a time, I do not doubt, when they stood in need of great encouragement. These things said the first and the last. One of the most helpful statements one has heard about that was it presents the Lord as an eternal being. He was there before all the opposition was ever in existence, and he'll be there after it has all been put down.
Must have been an encouragement too to the saints for the Lord to present himself as the one who was dead and is alive in view of persecution on the death.
Quite sure.
Very often in the history of Israel, God presented himself to them as the same.
Yes.
Especially when they were in difficulties. The unchanging, eternal one who is there to help.
Right.
Is this the same idea?
I'm sure it is, of an eternal being. Indeed, I think we have here both the deity and the manhood of the Lord presented to us in these statements. His deity, the first and the last, the one who became dead, is manhood. And moving he is subject to the will of God, that's the word I think in all the new translation, became dead. How well we know, don't we, that no man taketh my life from me. He became dead.
So you got in the verse both the person and the work.
Yes, we are right.
The whole period of time is alluded to us from eternity to eternity.
Yes.
Thou art God.
There are three distinct statements in Isaiah in the early chapters from 40 onwards, aren't there, which should leave no doubt in our minds that the first and the last are connected with his dignity in deity. The expression is, I am the first and the last, and beside me there is no God. It's in the section where Jehovah is in contrast with idols.
You said three.
There are three references to the first and last, but I've only picked out one.
I see. Became dead, but to remind them, as it has been said, he's alive again. There is something beyond death. And I think we are safe in saying that as believers on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're the only ones that can say anything about what is beyond death, so far as blessing is concerned.
Do you think it ought to be said again that the presentation of the Lord to each assembly is that which will sustain faith in the particular circumstances of that assembly?
Sure of that.
I suppose the overcomer in an especial way will appreciate the Lord in this way, and he will partake of the promise to the overcomer.
It would be to give them strength to endure the persecution that we're going through.
And to encourage them, the verse is implying that whatever came upon them, he had gone through before them.
I know. Everything was known to him, you see, that I know. I suppose it is that I know thy tribulation and poverty. But in that bracket was an encouragement, but thou art rich. We've often raised this statement in the making, you know. It suggests as well to keep raising them. What have you that death cannot touch? How rich am I in relation to that other world? Instead of bothering me brains till I make it insane trying to be rich in this world, why not be just as eager to be rich in that world? And that's what the Lord is referring to here.
Rich in faith.
Oh, well, there wouldn't be that at the moment. I don't have doubts, but I think every moment that they spent in suffering for the Lord was piling up spiritual riches in the world to come.
The Lord said to Smyrna, thou art rich. But the real say, he said, you say you're rich. You don't know you're poor.
And they were poor, that's right.
This is one of the three revivals that's spoken of in these addresses.
Well, here I do not doubt it was, and if the subject in length of tribulation would draw them a little bit away from the earthly and worldly tendency.
Why does he omit works here? Because in the other assemblies, most of them, he refers to the works. But to this assembly, we know that the word work shouldn't be there.
That's right.
I think if I was facing a mother's death worry, people wouldn't ask me about my works, would they?
Exactly.
Isn't that the point? Of it?
Yes, I'm right. Sir.
What else could hold, or more manifest could their works be than apparently the majority of them were facing a mother's death?
So this is saying it was marked by four things in George.
All right.
Verse 9, tribulation and poverty.
Yes.
Verse 10, suffering and death.
Yes. Right. And then an attack, a religious attack upon them by these people that say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Another way, worldly religion. You remember what Paul says about these people in the third chapter of Philippians. Beware of the circumcision. He won't give them the name of circumcision. He calls them in other content the circumcision. Men who had such a regard for earthly things that they were prepared to put to death. I mean, Paul was one of them himself before he was converted. One of the circumcision.
They are mentioned too in the assembly to Philippi.
That's right, yes. There they are again, earthly opposition, when the recovery of heavenly truth was being brought about.
Almost brought down to our time.
That's right. Yes, it is. Oh, yes.
Do you think that it has anything to do with the letting of the Galatians?
Oh, yes, it could do, indeed. That's right. The introduction of Judaism into Christianity. I mean, we use these terms, Christianity. We know that there is Christianity without Christ, but we use them in the right sense. Trying to introduce what was earthly and of the law and material into what was heavenly and spiritual.
May I say, Mr. Bulletin, I think there was a little slip of your tongue there, unintentionally. You mentioned Philippi. Did you mean Philadelphia?
Philadelphia,
yes. The only reason I'm bringing it up is that this is a problem that's right up to date, isn't it?
That's what I was thinking of. It was pleasant.
It would seem that the revival of Jewish traditional religion was what was a bother in Smyrna, and quite evidently it's a great bother in Philadelphia today.
Oh, yes.
Why? Well, the simple reason is that if you move into the world,
that's right,
you must find something to support you religiously.
Well, Judaism was never a heavenly system, though it was given from heaven. It was for earth, and will come in again for earth, as we well know. But Christianity, as we've often said, is both heavenly and it's spiritual.
Do you view the Jews here as literal or symbolic?
I think it's symbolic. They that say they are Jews and are not, claiming to be the earthly people of God, and they have no right to that claim at all. After I was just going to say, well, if we'd been sitting with a few, what do you call them, surplices on and mitres on and that, we'd have looked much more like ministers of the Lord than simple man like ourselves here today. This is the idea and the thing, you see.
But isn't it serious, George, that the opposition is coming from that which professes to be for God?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That's why I quoted Paul. He was one of them. Thought he was doing God's service, didn't he?
When I was in a Bible reading down south, I assumed what we are assuming today, that everybody accepted that what is true of Smyrna could be seen today.
Yes.
Now, a brother in the meeting said he didn't accept that.
Oh.
Now, there might be those today who don't know the grounds on which you are saying that these things are running concurrently, so to speak. Could you give us some features from here which would prove that
we can treat these matters as applicable to us today.
Well, that's why that was in my remarks, actually, when I said about the churches, lest we limited these things to the very companies that were mentioned. I mean, we're not in much tribulation, we may say, but whatever it is and the costs may be, these are difficult things to say, you know. People accuse us of treading on their toes. How many of us are suffering today because of our testimony for the Lord? How many of us have lost our jobs? How many of us, I think I have personally lost my citizenship as far as that's concerned, voting, etc., only too glad to get rid of the thing. But there are other things, you see, today that can place one in tribulation if I'm going to stand firmly for the Lord.
Now, can you quote some scriptures which would support the teaching that these are applicable and not just past phases of the church history?
Well, only what I've already said and repeated again, what the Spirit says to the churches. Then I must listen to this, I apparently need it.
In verse 19 of the previous chapter, it says, "The things which thou hast seen," which is chapter 1, "the things which are," is chapter 2 and chapter 3. So it takes in these assemblies, doesn't it? But of course, perhaps you wouldn't accept that. You must accept that in countries like the Congo,
that's right.
Christians have passed through, passing through these things.
Yes, all these things are going on today. And the probability is we are not far off it either. The way things are going in this world.
There is martyrdom in China today.
It has been said recently, and I believe that the statement is true, that there have been more Christians martyred in the last decade than in any decade of the church's history. Even in the persecutions to which Smyrna primarily applies, they were largely local and of small dimension. Nowadays, when the testimony is worldwide, the number of Christians who are laying down their lives are very many indeed.
The attack seems to come in two, shall we say, spear points. The synagogue of Satan in verse 9, and the devil in verse 10. Would you say something about that, please?
Well, I have noticed in looking over these churches, Satan is mentioned four times, the devil is only mentioned this once. Same person, of course, but under two distinct names. I never know whether to call these names or titles. I believe his name is Lucifer myself from the Old Testament. But when Satan is used, when he's described as Satan, he's the opposer. When he's described as the devil, he's the tempter. And it interested me, I never thought so clearly before, what a temptation it must have been for these saints to give up their testimony when they were faced with death. I've only noticed that this time. And I believe that's why the devil is used here.
Is it not an accepted thing in Scripture that a one who is faithful in his testimony is next door to a martyr? The two words are then in English have the same meaning in the original.
That's right, yes. It does mean that. But it reminds me about the remark of Hamilton Smith. We keep quoting these things that surprised me many years ago. He said that it was only because of our inconsistencies that the world puts up with us at all. It was a rather stinging word, but one had to think it over.
There are forms of persecution apart from death.
Oh, quite, that's right, Frank. I will come on to that. Go on, say something about them.
Well, many a young man may be passed over in promotion because of his faithfulness to the Lord.
That's right.
Sneering and ridicule, things of that character, a form of persecution too.
That's right.
And I think many of the saints do pass through these things. We, in the good mercy of God, because of some measure of good government, are preserved from the outward persecution that they're receiving in China, Russia, and in other parts of the world. Now, no doubt what you say is true, we come under more persecution if we've been more faithful.
Well, yes, probably.
We're not in honour as under the lordship of Christ, are we?
in this world?
It probably comes under the heading of Philadelphia, but I believe that there's great reproach upon those connected with brethren assemblies if they're true to their life when they live amongst other companies of Christians.
Yes, I'm glad you've mentioned that, Daniel, and not me. You didn't have to me to say these things. But unfortunately, that too is marking us in our meetings. We hear of people going here and there and somewhere else, trying to be popular among these things, and not prepared to accept the pathway of rejection from what they well know is not according to the mind of the Lord.
Is not the word of Paul very significant? And all that will live godly shall suffer persecution.
In Christ Jesus.
Yes. What strikes one very forcefully is that he says that it's a synagogue of Satan.
Right.
This is a terrible thing, isn't it?
Quite, quite. An absolute opposition to, I suppose, true saints of God.
Would you say that we are around us today, there are synagogues of Satan? A human priesthood after a Jewish pattern?
It all comes under that heading. I think we get the Nicolaitans further down again, which I'm perfectly sure myself is the rise and progress of clerisy, as Mr. Darby called it.
Why is it that you call attention to in Christ Jesus, evidently the brother omitting now? Is it possible to live pious in a way without being in Christ Jesus?
Well, Paul could say about himself before he was converted, but I can never say about myself. As you know, touching the law, blameless. But it wasn't in Christ Jesus, was it? No.
Is it the case then that when you come to the thought of in Christ Jesus, you step outside everything that a religious man makes much of?
That's it. I'm sure that's it. Right. It's an out of the world condition of things that is sometimes called in Christ Jesus.
What's the difference, George? The one is synagogue here. What's the difference between synagogue and assembly?
Well, I don't think there is any difference in the words, as far as I know.
I thought a synagogue was a gathering together.
Aye.
And the assemblies are gathering out.
Well, yes, all right.
It is.
Do you think that?
Well, synagogue, from which the word is drawn, is a gathering together.
That's right.
But ecclesia is a calling out.
I thought you were meaning about these people and the name they gave them. However, that's worth repeating. Repeat that again.
Well, anyone will find it in the Greek course.
That's right.
Synagoge, in the synagogue, is a gathering together.
That's right.
But ecclesia, an assembly, is ex out, ecclesia, callio, to call.
Calling
out.
The synagogue only came to light after they were carried to Babylon.
Yes.
Is it congregationism gathering together?
Congregate, that's that word, does mean that.
Yes. Well, the conception of the assemblies, we hear it said about their assembly, our assembly, and those assemblies, and it seems to refer more to congregationalism rather than the true thought, the true scriptural thought of the assembly. It sounds very loose, Mr. Man.
If there are those who profess to be Christians, who deny the deity of the Lord Jesus, and many other fundamental truths in the scriptures, we would be entitled to call them a synagogue of Satan.
Oh yes, if they were congregating together on that ground, associating to principles like that.
But we would need to be careful and not give Christians who perhaps haven't the full understanding of the truth on independent grounds, if you like, we would need to be careful in calling them synagogues of Satan.
Well, yes. Well, anyway, they are called that here, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
And flat opposition to the truth was the bringing in what was earthly and material as we said, into what was heavenly and spiritual.
The only thing is that bringing in the word Satan as an opponent, adversary of God, rather looks beyond what's immediately before you to the power that's behind it. And don't you think that sometimes even dear Christian people can be swept into a system that really they shouldn't belong to? I only mention this because Thyatira is one of the biggest persecuting bodies that this world's ever seen. And of course there are still Christians in Thyatira. It's the system, I think, rather than the individuals that's particularly in mind in the synagogue of Satan.
What I'm thinking about that is the time that they come amongst the brethren, and certain misguided brethren refer to the Testament as the table of demons.
Oh, wow.
And Mr. Darby took strong exception to this. And one wonders if we have to fall into the same trap in referring to humble Christians as the synagogue of Satan.
Oh, well. Yes.
We need to be careful in these special years.
Yes, I really think though that when somebody's facing persecution and martyrdom, you're really concerned with eternal forces and eternal issues, and faith reaches to one who's above the Satan who is in opposition.
I think it's borne out by verse 10 when it says the devil shall come. Obviously it's men energized by the devil that do the task.
Is there an example of this in Job, in that it's not Job himself, but God and the devil?
Yes. This trial came about under pagan Rome, didn't it?
It was beginning to take formation and seeing in its full light the course and by its hour.
Well now, Satan had got the powers to be to oppose Christianity. I understand that during this period there were 10 edicts issued by which it was demanded of all governors that they should search out all Christians and put them to death.
Right. It's been thought that's what the 10 days referred to, wasn't it? Those 10 Roman edicts that were promulgated against Christianity.
Now, would it take much change in a government to make you a martyr now?
No. No.
Is it not drifting like that?
Well, that's why I said a little earlier. We don't know how near we are to the thing ourselves. Laws are being retracted that are allowing evil to take, well, precedence over what is good. It's the world coming to light and its true characters around us on every hand. Sad to say, there are still saints of God that think they're going to put the world right. That was the third and most difficult act.
But you wouldn't think, George, there's much evidence of martyrdom in Laodicea.
No. In Laodicea, oh no, no, no. But we're dealing here with Smyrna, that way when we're speaking of martyrdom. I don't think we'll arrive at Laodicea myself. In this line, that's where, well, we'll see when we get under them. I think Laodicea is in vogue today. The last four are running on together at the end, you remember. It's one of the things I need to keep clear of to be as late as here. Oh, there'll not be much persecution there, all right.
Certainly the opposition that's so apparent in Smyrna comes to light in connection with Philadelphia.
That's right.
That's why I think that we can discern the thing working now.
That's right.
Well, we are called upon, we're called to faithfulness. And for a man like Antipas, it was death. But in our case, it may not mean death, excepting a long drawn out opposition. Some martyrs didn't live long, but I've heard it said that for a faithfulness of 50 years and 60 years is an endurance. They used to say in the war, you know, that those who were killed first were the best of. Those who were killed in the first week of the war were better than those who endured the 5 years. I heard that many times.
What does come out here, I think, is the faithfulness of the Lord. He says 10 days.
That's right.
Not 9 or 11.
That's right.
He says 10 and he means 10.
Yes, right.
So that is, he's circumscribed, so to speak, for suffering.
That's right.
He'll go on as long as he pleases, he'll bring it to an end.
we can be sure when it produced what the Lord wanted it to produce, it would come to an end. Go on.
It would be a comfort, George. May Satan be there and let the devil be there, yet everything's under the control.
Oh yes. Well, I just mentioned those two names so that may be a help to some, you know, that Satan is the opposer. Obviously so. Whereas the devil is the tempter, not so obvious. And I can quite see what Smyrna the temptation would be to give up their testimony and avoid this persecution.
Could we quote the verse then that God is faithful?
Oh yes.
Who will not suffer us to be tempted above that we're able to bear, but will with the temptation also provide a way of escape, be able to bear it. The way of escape might be through death.
It may be.
But he's gone that way before.
Aye. Far better than yield to the temptation.
There's one thing we can say, that whatever it is, God will support us. Well, in faithfulness, will support us.
This doesn't mean faithful on our side.
He'll support the faithful.
Yes, he's faithful to those that are faithful on his, our side.
Those in China, those in Czechoslovakia, or in Russia. Well, God will support us in the fight.
I want to ask you, does the tribulation or the suffering here have anything the same thought as Daniel? As he was proved 10 days, the first chapter of Daniel.
10 is the number of responsibility we've usually seen, I think, in the numerals. And apparently that's why the 10 would be used here. But I think, as James has said, has been pointed out by these men who study church history, that there were these 10 distinct of edicts against the saints of God, and it may refer to that. But 10 is the number, of course, of human responsibility, hence the 10 commandments.
I want to think of Daniel and his companions were proved.
10 days? They were a faithful remnant on that day, of course.
How many crowns of life are there?
Well now, they are faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. We know, I think, that this crown is not the royal crown, it's the victor's crown. That which, I suppose, they were crowned at the end of the games, or at the end of a war. But not royally this time, it's not the diadem, it's the stephanos, the victor's crown.
Perhaps you better tell us, Mr.
I was only noticing that in the, as you know better than I do, in the original, the definite article was there. Crown.
Moses did it.
Yes. So that is the crown, or rather quoted it.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry.
The crown of life.
I didn't get your remark there.
But you mentioned how many. How many?
Well, it seemed to be that the crown of life was rather a unit, you know, one. A kind of aspiration or an objective.
Yes. I've not read another one, as far as I know, there's just
one in James, isn't there? The man that endures temptation.
That's right. But I think it's the same crown.
Probably the same crown in this setting. Yes. Mm.
The emphasis is upon the wife. You were referring to the ship.
That's right. The point is that, as we said, something beyond death, but indeed the Lord says, fear none of those things that you suffer. Men can do no more to us than put to death the body. They cannot kill our souls, and they cannot take away our salvation. Beyond all that is the crown of life, where we shall well reign in life by one Christ Jesus. He used another statement. I'm saying we, of course, this is the promise of the overcomer. Hence he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches.
Will we have to wait until the glory, until we know as to whether we were an overcomer?
Oh, I'm sure of that. It's before the judgment seat of Christ that all these things will be assessed. But as our brother called attention a little bit earlier, if you saw me sealing my testimony with my blood, sooner than give up the truth of God or what we know to be right, I don't think you'd have any question, would you? About me. I'm using myself just as a type, of course. But there are many things that have been done in this world, as we've said, it may not only be going to a martyr's cross, But many things that have been done in this world have been tribulation, and as good as a martyr's death, the assessment will be made to every one of us before the judgment seat of Christ.
Continue thou in the things which thou observe, not that on the line of overcoming?
Well, it would be, that's right. The receipt of the things done in the body, whether they be good or bad.
The Lord speaks about losing your life for His sake.
That's right.
Is this in principle giving up one's life for the Lord and is akin to martyrdom?
Then again, if you've taken the other half of that frank, you'll save it unto life eternal.
Yes.
Far superior, isn't it? And hence he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Doesn't seem a very high reward, does it? But nevertheless, we know that the very world that was persecuting them, they had yet the second death to face. But those who apparently were being put to death would never be heard of the second death.
Those who are born once die twice. Those who are born twice may not even die at all.
That's right. But we may, of course, die once, eh?
Not the danger that the second death would be inferentially, it introduces what we had last night in the 41st Thessalonians, doesn't it?
What are you referring to, Brian?
Well, there's a 1,000 years between these two.
Oh, yes.
And so at the beginning of the 1,000 years, there's what we call the rapture that George referred to.
Well, I did think, though, when Tommy spoke a little earlier about that, about the two distinctions here, when the assessment for us will be at the judgment seat of Christ, but the assessment of this and the second death will not be in the great white throne. It's the lake of fire that is called the second death. We'll not be even in that judgment, much less escaping it. But it does say it's a promise to them at the time just when they needed it. The world has condemned you to death. God will never condemn you to death, as it were, eternally.
Would you think, George, that if some of us are a bit afraid that we're getting lukewarm, that the reading of the closing days of the martyrs, both ancient and modern, might shame some of us into a little more devotedness to Christ?
Well, that's quite good with that, Daniel.
It's a terrible thought, isn't it? Hurt of the second death. Think of the word hurt.
Speak up, Willow, we can hear you.
Hurt of the second death.
Aye, that's right.
It says hurt, and we know the second death is eternal.
That's right.
And that's to be hurt for eternal.
That's right.
It's a terrible thought.
And the first death is only temporary, isn't
it? Yes.
Oh, yes.
And one's persecution is governed by their affection for the Lord. I think all round it, the more you have affection for the Lord, His interest in upholding everything for the glory of God and for the persons and exaltation of Christ, the persecution will be there.
Oh, it'll be there, will it? It's the faithfulness and the testimony, as we've been seeing.
Are we to look at Pergamos today?
Oh, well, we thought we might just, according to our time, if we could just touch it a little. Hence the next statement that is brought before us, I think if it's any help just mentioning these words, Pergamos, I think means marriage, doesn't it? That it isn't only now that they are dwelling with Satan Thornet, they're joining hands with them, being linked with them as close as ever they can. And immediately we have the Lord presenting Himself to them as He which has the sharp sword with two edges. I do not doubt many faithful men were raised up to testify to these things very clearly, the difference between what they were heading for and what they ought to be heading for under the headship of Christ.
Is it just possible that Satan saw that he had failed in this bit of persecution?
That's right.
And now he's trying this other method to patronize the church.
It comes out in Balaam this time, you see. That's what's in this one. Rather peculiar. Although I shouldn't say peculiar, just what we might expect.
You see, on marriage.
Marriage, that's right.
It is striking that these conditions are found so near the apostolic age.
Yes.
One would have thought that the pure truth as promulgated by apostles would have held ground, so to speak. But Satan is so bitter an enemy, so determined to destroy everything that savors of Christ, that he comes in even before the apostles are on the scene. As we saw in Ephesus. And now there's not 700 years passed away. We've got the world and the church firmly married together.
Oh, indeed they are. Never got to find the distinction between them.
Does not the Lord allude to this decline in the past 2 years? That is, in regard to the 25th of Matthew, the 10 virgins, they all suffered and slept, and the 13th of Matthew, wild men slept. It was very quickly after the apostles, the first departure was in evidence.
Now the second one, the enemy came and sowed tares among the weeds, unwatchfulness among the saints of God. But I believe it's worse than unwatchfulness here. I think they had spiritually begun in their souls. The world was appealing to them again, out of which God had called them. As we've heard about Ecclesia, I didn't know that's what these brothers were aiming at. The Ecclesia they called out once. They'd forgotten that and were sliding back again into the world.
Wasn't it one of the kings of Judah who was asked why he had joined himself with the enemies of the Lord?
Yes.
And this is what happens here, isn't it?
Yes, it's what.
There's an expression in the world today, if you can't beat them, join them. Yes. And this is what Satan did.
And the subtlety of that is that they will tell you, you're just the sort of man they want to help them. And you're just the sort of man they'll pull down if you attempt it. Just the man we want on the council, and yes, like the brother, I think we've told him before on South Shields, that's the brother for the council. As I'll ask you a question, depend on your answer. When Noah heard there was a flood coming, did he build an ark, or did he get out plans for the drains? It soon settled the question, didn't it?
What is the bright spot about this address?
In Pergamos? Well, I don't know that there's much bright about them at all, except Antipas, there's martyr in the middle again.
He says here, and thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith. Mm-hmm. Is it not during this period that was fought out the great Arian heresy?
Oh, yes. Yes, that's true enough.
And once and for all publicly, it was seen the deity of Christ.
But they were well in the world even when that was fought out, you know. It was practically settled in worldly courts.
I understand that this city, Pergamos, was the first city to raise a temple to the deity of Augustus.
I knew that already.
The word means citadel, doesn't it, or tower? Citadel or a tower.
Don't you think it's noteworthy that the martyr is spoken of here? I mean, you might have expected that Antipas would get mentioned in the
previous one,
Smyrna, and yet it's mentioned here in Pergamos.
I do not doubt it was a strong opposition raised to the movement that the church was definitely making to link hands with this world.
Isn't the Pergamos situation far more subtle than the previous one?
I believe it is.
The persecution brings out the saints of God.
That's right.
They shine brightly. The faithful ones are deserved. All. But when the world mixes with the church, and the church is found in the world, who knows where anybody is? What a pitiable thing to see even the saints of God today dragging in worldly nations to make things come, as they said, make things go.
That's right.
You can't do it. If it's not of the spirit, it's not worth having anything whatever to do with it.
You'll get more folks into your meeting, of course, if you do, you know.
I question that, Joe. That's true, because I know an assembly that brought in an organ to help them in their gospel meetings. And the plea was that if they brought this in, they would have more into the gospel meetings.
I see.
And the truth is that they have less now.
Oh, well, perhaps the Lord put his hand on that. us. They should have known better. I'm always sorry when I hear that brethren with organs in gospel meetings. It's a manifestation of their lack of spiritual judgment. It's a downright fleshly thing. I never would preach the gospel in any meeting that wants to play an organ.
No, neither would I.
No, thank you, thank you. I'm persuaded it's a downright earthly thing that's a quenching the Spirit of God. But that may have been the assembly thought was known better.
Yes, I'm afraid that if we do give way, we help others on the way very quickly getting it all.
That's right.
I think we ought to notice, Jimmy, just following up your point about the Arian heresy, that the champion for the deity of Christ, Athanasius, he was banished no fewer than 5 times. He got so used to it that the last time he said, it is but a passing cloud. He got used to it. And I think anyone who would stand for the truth and hold fast his name had to suffer for it, even as the martyr suffered.
And didn't the Nestorians arrive about that time, though? I didn't want to mention these things. People say we don't know anything about them. But reading church history, we have learned a bit about them. Was it Arius that attacked his deity and Nestorians that attacked his humanity? Or was it Arius that said there were two persons?
That was Apollinarius.
Apollinarius, was it, Arius? It's a matter of fact, my advisor says not to read them, but to read your Bible and get something positive.
Why do you think the name of this martyr is introduced? Antipas.
I think it's to show the Lord's approval of the stand that this man was taking, that he was right.
Do you see any significance in the name itself?
It's one against all, isn't it? Antipas.
Yes.
We often read of the faith in the scriptures. Is there any difference between my faith?
Well, my faith is individual, of course, but the faith is the whole faith of Christianity.
Why amongst you, slain amongst you?
Well, is it not because there was so much in the world? It wasn't as though he'd been dragged out from a faithful crowd, but among them that it shows that they were just as bad as the world, as far as I can see it.
Striking, it says, first of all, Satan seed. There's always a temporary affair to which he would go, but it finishes the verse by saying Satan's dwelling.
Mr. Darby then does have a throne, by the way, Satan's throne, where he's reigning supreme in the world, eh?
Ought this to open our eyes, because it's just as true today, and ought we to examine everything and ask ourselves, from which source does this come?
That's right.
See?
Yes, that's right.
It's only, there are only two sources.
Yes.
It's either from heaven or it's from us.
That's right.
In this church, I notice again that the word works is omitted. I know thy works, it isn't there in the better translation. And do you think that faithfulness to Christ in the face of this opposition is of great value in the sight of heaven?
It speaks for itself, as we say.
Absolutely. An offering and a sacrifice to God of a sweet smell.
Right.
If you take the immediate historical setting of this, following on what Mr. Tate said earlier, facing possibly the last of the 10 edicts which was given, reference was made to the 10 days of verse 10, on one hand being hounded and persecuted, and then the next moment an emperor who proclaimed himself to be a Christian, and things immediately turned round. They really would need great watchfulness, wouldn't they? To be near the Lord, on one hand to be refusing persecution, and then to receive thousands swept into the profession of the sword.
Can you explain how that the saints can be where saints seat is, or how they can be where Satan dwells? We'll see.
I hope, Peter, you'll just hear about my going to the football match, or the thing here against St. George's got where Satan's dwelling is, don't they? Can't say you're listening to the television, you're watching the television, all the stuff, the rubbish that's going on in the world. Then St. George's got where Satan's seat is. That's where it is. I mean, the saints have got a different these things today. I'm persuaded they're not part of life, there's a danger of them. Look here, if I spent my time looking at the television before I came up here, what good would it be if Ben and that's me coming in? I'll just put that as a personal thing. I have no doubt at all as to say that the God where Satan's throne is when I see them given the time up for this sort of thing. It's simply the world pure and simple. It's where he raised the dream. Thank God he isn't in the local meeting, that's why he hit so many. To get out of his world.
Is that all right, Peter?
Well, if that's not what I'm like, you tell me what you think it is now. That's my judgment about it. Anybody else anything to say, I'm quite prepared to listen to it.
There is the political as well as the religious, isn't there, in the opposition? And they developed in
the world, don't they? It's all around. It's where Satan's throne is. It's where he reigns supreme.
The seeds are where God dwells. No? The seeds are God's growing place. How can it be Satan's growing place at the same time?
But when Constantine became a Christian, of course, he took the Christian church under his wing. He became their patron. And consequently, they were now found in Satan's seat. The church was now in the world. I think it was a very marked period in church history, which, sad to say, still has its implications today.
He introduced the ecumenical person.
Well,
would it be more correct to say that Constantine confessed to it?
Yes, he wasn't baptized with his deathbed, was he?
Yes. You see, the Lord is looking at the assembly in its public profession here. We may say the true as well as the false. It's all regarded here as a mass. And that's why there needs to be an overcomer, that's the thing. I hope we're all overcomers here today.
Does it not reflect on the mass state or the low state when the world can be identified with the people not?
Well, it's been said, as you know, the church and the world are one, of joint hands. We must remember that we're dealing with the thing professively, and hence the need of paying attention to words like this, that I, for one, might overcome these things. I cannot speak for you, but I can speak for myself.
And there's such things as considering what people would like, and adapting conditions amongst the states to suit the worldly tastes of those of men of the world, and even make room for influential people to be amongst us.
Oh yes,
looking out for influential people too, and people got acquisitions when we got influential people amongst us.
Could be spend 3 minutes on the overcomer.
Speak up, Andrew.
Could be spend 3 minutes on the overcomer.
Well, I just didn't want to miss that, you see. I'm sorry if any of us have any difficulty about where Satan's throne is in this world. As soon as you step out of that door, you step into Satan's world, Satan's throne. And from the moment we step out of a company like this, we've got to mind what we say, mind what we do, and be very careful where we go. We're in Satan's will as soon as we get out of that door. Thank God for a company like this, where the Spirit of God, I believe, will bring Christ before us.
The whole world lies in the wicked one.
The whole world, that's right.
But these saints here are spoken of as holding fast my name.
Yes.
And not denying my faith.
That's right.
How could they be the same sinners if they're doing that?
But the Lord said they were. He said they were. I'm not saying the words of the Lord that said it.
There must have been a real one amongst them, though.
Oh, I feel that's why I keep saying it's the Master's here, and hence the call for the overcomers. And I do not doubt these words were to encourage the overcomers, when the Master, as it were, was going that way. You know the Old Testament quotation, thou shalt not go with the multitude in an evil cause.
The gates of hell are never far away from the assembly.
Well, that's perfectly true, and Satan's out to engulf us at every point. And of course, if he gets many as one single individual, he's gained the victory.
You've spoken of instruments and men being welcomed in. Will you say this is because the Spirit of God is not being given his rightful place in the assemblies?
The Lordship of Christ has been denied and his headship refused. Certainly it opens the door for these things to come in. The Nicolaitans are coming to light again, and this time it's a doctrine. A settled part of the community, it's a doctrine, not only the deeds.
Yes, the sad thing is the teaching that Rome's right, George, isn't it?
Right. I mean, sometimes when I've been around visiting and presented myself at the hospital as a minister, they've looked me up and down and said, yes, I know. In your estimation, I don't look like one, but I am. I'll come as a minister to the Lord as a brother or sister. Because I happened to colour around the wrong way or something. It wasn't officially so. That's the Nicolaitanism, I'm perfectly sure.
What about Andrew's question?
Yes, I know. Well, we don't want to lose it. And we've another 5 minutes away here.
Hidden manner, quite straight.
That's right, I didn't make.
Oh.
Well, this, to my mind, is one of the most precious rewards the Lord gives, the hidden manner. Wasn't that the pot of manna treasured up in the ark? God's appreciation of Christ, bringing me to that.
Would you not say, in that way then, it's the appreciation of Christ as he was on earth, not as he is in the...
Oh yes. But think of God bringing me in line with his own thought about it, giving me to enjoy that holy separate pathway of Christ through this evil world and to enjoy it, appreciate it, and God's own appreciation. That's a wonderful thing.
It was what God himself has put aside for himself.
That's right.
Wasn't it?
That's right.
We were there this morning, right?
Oh, well, all right, down here.
Yes. We're prepared to share it.
Oh, indeed. And to know the blessed secret of his preciousness to thee. We sang it this morning.
That's right.
But this is in special circumstances, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
In wilderness circumstances. In just the very setting that would be so appealing to an overcomer in tournaments.
I do not doubt that Peter reminded us yesterday that while the whole thought of the overcomer lies ahead at the end of the pathway, I'm perfectly certain the spirit of it fills our souls if we are marked by these things.
It'd be a very poor outlook if Christians couldn't look to the Lord for his appreciation.
That's right.
Wouldn't it?
That's right.
If you don't feel that sometimes you have his approval, where would you be?
That's right.
That's the white stone, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Hey, I think you know that it's the old-fashioned way of walking, wasn't it? That's where we get the word blackballing somebody. You put a ball against them black, you put it for them if you put it white. There'd be black balls going against many of these people in those days. Well, the Lord says, I'll give them a white one.
Yeah. In connection with the hidden manna, George, I've often wondered, and I've been corrected, the 30 years of the Lord's life has never been disclosed to us. It was at that moment when the Father's voice was heard from heaven, declaring his delight in his Son, referring, I believe, to those 30 years of obscurity.
Right.
Do you think there's any suggestion here that something of that precious life would be disclosed to those who were overcome?
Oh, I certainly do. I do indeed. It's his whole pathway, I'm sure of that. But think of God giving me the appreciation of that as he appreciates it. I think you'll agree, Frank, I must be in a very separate state and a very spiritual state if I'm going to enjoy a thing like that. I quite agree with what Peter said yesterday, that the very spirit of these things is given to enjoy today, while the fullness of them still lies in the world to come.
When the ark eventually arrived at its resting place the Solomonic temple, doesn't it say there was no pot of manna there?
No.
Does it mean that when we get home, that blessed man is at home and we're with him, that there'll be no further need of the sustenance that comes from the hidden manna?
So when he did both for the wilderness, you remember, Aaron's rod that budded in the pot of manna. The two tables of testimony were still there.
Exactly.
Not only so, it wouldn't be available then. It wouldn't be available, the manna, in the sense that even in the millennium, it wouldn't be available. The perfect pathway of our Lord in humility. They'll know him in power and in glory, but not in humility.
Would you think that the Apostle Paul would know this quite stern when he said in 2 Timothy, nevertheless the Lord stood with me?
Very good, very good.
And this new name...
New name. Well, apparently that's going to be a secret between this overcomer and the Lord. If you get that new name, Daniel, I'll not know it.
No. No. Now, it's not my appreciation of the Lord this time, but it's his appreciation of me.
That's right. And he describes the person, isn't it? And will tell you what the Lord thinks about you if you get that new name.
I notice in the Greek that this is not commensurate objective knowledge, but this is conscious knowledge. It's not something you've got to read up in the book, but you've got it.
You've got it in your soul.
Something very precious to think
is going
to be a secret between the Lord and me that I
don't know.
Wonderful, isn't it?
Well,
worth going
forward, eh? Antipas would know that, wasn't it? He wasn't just a martyr, he's my faithful martyr.
Very good.